You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hi, folks, listening to Suicide Buddies. Dave and I just really want to put out there that we definitely want you to take care of yourselves. If you are having truly dark thoughts, we really do recommend that you call 1-800-273-TALK. They are actually truly good, and they do give really valuable information and conversations back and forth. So thanks for listening to the pod.
You know just what to do when I look at you, and I don't wanna go. They call me on the phone and won't leave me alone when I don't wanna go.
You're listening to Dave Ross's New Year's Rockin' Eve. We're bringing in the new year with Dave Ross rocking in the new year. We're going to be rocking. We're going to be rolling. We're going to be rolling on rocks. We're going to be putting rocks in our pockets and walking into the ocean and drowning. Because wait, there's a rocking New Year's drowning at the bottom of the ocean with Dave Ross.
Ten. All right, we're kicking this off. We're kicking this off with the Jingle Bell Rock by Dave Ross himself. Here we go.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. I'm putting out a Christmas album. Jingle bell
on New Year's. That's the
time.
Best time.
Jingle. Yeah, no, I like my Christmas album to come out a week after Christmas. That way people will buy it next year.
All primed to get all those year-long sales.
I do not like to make money at right now.
Well,
I never want to make money now.
We're rocking. Okay, we're at the countdown. Let's sync it up perfectly.
I saw mommy kissing Santa Claus.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
-1, -2, -3, -4.
We're winding the year back, folks.
-5, -6, -7, -8, -9, -10, -11. -12.
Dave, you're too negative.
-13. -14. -15. -16, -17. I'm going all the way to 69. -18, -19, -20.
We're rocking in the new year.
-21.
I'm gonna just
-22.
Rock myself to sleep.
-23.
And rock in the shower -24. In a fetal position because my wife has
-25.
Left me. -25. It was a terrible 2018.
-26. -27. -28. -29. -69.
What comes next?
It goes 29-69. That's the number after 29. Yeah, wow. You skip 40 numbers when you're negative.
When you're that negative.
Like my dad used to say, when you're negative, it's always 69. 69ing is not positive.
It's the
Think
worst.
About it. Think about it.
It's maybe the worst sexual position.
Absolutely.
Let's be honest. Butt and face.
Yeah.
Balls on
totally.
Other face.
Yeah.
Butt and balls just happening.
Let's fuck, but also smell each other.
I mean, to be fair, when I do have sex, usually I'm just holding my nose closed.
Come on.
Don't want to smell you
God.
On any level.
Yeah, totally.
They don't find it rude at all.
I hold my nose when I jerk off. Because I smell like shit.
I heard that makes you come a lot harder.
Absolutely, dude. Hold your nose, tickle your balls, and then you shoot ropes.
Guys, this is a... Ropes,
dude. Damn. Man,
when I bust...
Hey, what's up? We're Dave Ropes and the Ropes I Shot.
Bustin' Ropes. Bustin' Ropes. My new rap group.
Oh, man.
God damn.
You ever shoot so many ropes, one of them's a noose? I'm over here shooting nooses, dude.
I knew I had to go see a therapist when the ropes I was usually busting started to become nooses. I went to my doctor. I explained to him very carefully what a problem might be.
I think we might be the first people ever to say that you could shoot ropes into a noose.
Oh, wow, dude.
Well, that's why we're called the Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin of jizzing.
Jizz Aldrin, that's what they call me.
They had to, dude. That guy would not stop busting inside the shuttle.
Neil, like, Jizz Aldrin and Neil Cumfar.
And he did that anti-gravity thing where it's like kind of floating around and you suck it up, you know, with a straw, and it's weird.
I blew one small load for man. And one giant load for mankind.
They're planning another space mission, and it's going to be all women, I think. And
oh,
it's all,
man.
And it's because they're kind of
called Apollo 8.
Yeah, that was an Ocean's 8 joke. That's right. It was a very topical Ocean's 8 joke.
It's going to be called Figures 2. Yeah, I think the whole reason is we still have yet to see if humans can have sex in space, and we don't want them to. Like, we think that could actually really hurt you and fuck you up. So,
what?
Yeah,
man, crazy.
So, you get to go to Mars.
It's called Precious in space. Space Precious. Why hasn't that movie been made?
Space Precious?
Space Precious.
Precious is back. Put this down, she's in space. Meet Precious. She thought she was just going to be horrifically abused and abused by her family. But this summer, she's going to
space.
Mom can't throw, a bucket of chicken at my head if it's no gravity.
Yeah, it'll only lightly hit my head if we live in space. Why? Why did you assume that she threw a bucket of chicken at her head?
I was just realizing, I was like, oh, wait, I've never seen Precious, and I just know secondhand information from stand-ups I've watched over the years, say dumb fucking
lines. That's how I get most of mine.
I think she throws a frying pan at her? A throwing pan. You know the throwing pan.
A throwing pan.
Now it's
she fries
throwing
pan.
Yeah.
Have you seen Infinity War?
Yeah, it's like Precious.
That's basically Precious in space.
I hate
it. I know.
Precious snaps her fingers. Half the molesters in the entire universe are going to go away. And they're like, she snaps her fingers. They're like, why not all? She's like,
and then Bruce
fuck.
Banner yells, oh, you guys are fucked now. Hey, welcome to Suicide Buddies. I'm Dave Ross.
I'm Hampton Young.
We are at Buddies Pod on Twitter and facebook.com/groups/suicidebuddies. You have found yourself, if you're new to the show, at a depression and suicidal thoughts podcast hosted by two complete fucking idiots who have been there, so we joke around about it. We do not take your sadness lightly. We take our sadness lightly.
Well, I didn't realize I was a complete fucking idiot. I have to go to the bathroom for a little while, guys. Okay, you all just keep doing the podcast without me. The big fucking idiot.
Oh, wow. Okay, sure. Well, happy fucking New Year then.
Let me ask you this. Who forgot to turn off his space heater?
Oh, we did forget. Is that Aristotle? Is that coming through your cans?
The horn?
He's got boobs on his ears.
Do you use cans or horns? I don't know all the radio lingo.
Do you get on the horn or do you throw it in the cans?
This can
Aristotle,
horn,
answer me. He didn't answer.
10, 9, 8 I hate
7
I'm so fucking mad it became a new year, dude. 2019 already fucking sucks.
New year.
Worst goddamn year of my life.
I agree. It is the worst year of your life.
Yes.
Oh, it's off. Now it's going to be cold as fuck.
Oh, okay.
Hey, we have merch. We have new merch.
We're selling Dave's space heater. Guys,
yeah. It's $4,000 each. And there's only one.
We wrote feelings on it in Sharpie. It's fucking awesome.
It's a feelings heater. Yeah.
I don't feel so cold on the inside. Yeah. Our feelings heater. Yeah,
totally. Were you cold on the inside over the holidays? Well, put our heater in your body.
I gotta be honest, Dave.
What's up, dude?
Baby, I'm cold inside.
Baby, I'm old outside.
You're a baby and you're outside.
I left my baby outside. My baby died outside.
I must have been a bad parent.
Oh, man.
Let me in. I'm a baby. I'm an adult baby.
I think it's so funny. There was a radio station during the holidays that, you know, the whole controversy of like people wanted to take it off the air, which it probably should. It's an incredibly rapey song.
Such an awful song.
I mean, that's a good reason. It was like, oh, yeah, I completely get why. She goes at one point, there's something in my drink. And he's like,
totally.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah. You're dumb.
Mind
you
your
don't
damn
get
bitch
it.
Mouth. And so then a radio station in defiance, like Super Republican radio station, just played it straight for 2 hours. And
of course
it
did.
I was like, well, now it's 100% about rape. Like,
yeah, totally.
Like, who psychotically wants to listen to that song for 2 hours?
Totally. It's just like,
that's
I love
assault,
it.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. The party that's like, rape isn't real, plays the rape song because they're mad you called it a rape song. It's not a rape song. We play it.
Does it in like a rape-like fashion.
Oh, man. I live in a double wide. We have new merch. We have two versions of a Y'all Ever shirt that y'all can buy, and we could have our just like one place that all our merch is at. We opened a
Threadless
store.
Hey, this is Dave. This is a recording inserted from my phone because we got the URL wrong for the new merch store. Well, look, we thought we were going to use TeePublic, and then I used it, and I wanted to not use it, and so we're on Threadless. Every time in this episode, if you hear me say TeePublic, just replace that with Threadless, if we haven't already, but I think we will. Anyway, the URL for the store is suicidebuddies.threadless.com. That's suicidebuddies.threadless.com.
That Teespring link for the Feeling shirt is down. Don't work no more. But you can get the Feeling shirt at our new
Threadless
shop.
I like them because it sounds like Republic.
Yeah.
You know, Plato's Republic.
Totally. It rhymes. I like rhyming.
Democracy. Like it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Rhyming-mocracy.
The allegory of the T-shirt.
I'm so excited that a bunch of people just wrote us and were like, please make the shirt. We want the Y'all Ever shirt.
I love it. I want one.
You got it. Y'all Ever shirt?
Y'all shirt?
Shit.
Dude,
that's a good alt.
That's
a
y'all shit.
Y'all Ever shirt, and it's just a shirt.
Y'all Ever tuck your shirt?
I was also thinking we should get
like fuck your shit. Come on.
Y'all Ever tuck your shirt? Oh man, I was just gonna say I think it's time we start making pants. Why is that ridiculous?
I was taking a sip of green juice. That's right,
idiot.
I'm a fucking coward. I was drinking, I had a mouthful of green juice. I almost spit it all over my MacBook. God, I'm LA.
My scripts are on there.
Oh, man. I almost spit my green juice all over my pilot.
Now I'm going to be late for my Nutrageous audition. Life is so hard to be adulting.
My acting coach says I need to do more yoga.
You know, there's like a farmer in America who's like, I broke my hands at work today.
Oh. By the way, just a reminder, there is a level on our Patreon, patreon.com/suicidebuddies. The $10 a month level, you get discounts on all our merch. And it's funny, we've promised that we were going to regularly be putting merch in for that to be beneficial, and we haven't, but we will now. What happened is that we had the, like, Kate Vance, who's at Poop Shoes on Instagram, made that amazing Hulkamanic episode graphic, and we were going to turn it into a shirt, and then right before we were putting it up, we realized that we can get sued by...
by the Hulk. And the funny thing is, he's a pretty litigious guy.
Yeah, he sues people. He's got a lot of free time, that guy.
Sorting his bandanas does not take up all of his time. Cutting the sleeves off his shirts. Honestly, he gets one of his butlers to do it.
Yeah.
Can you imagine a butler, like, his job is he has to make sleeveless shirts for Hulk?
Wow. I hadn't thought about that till right now.
He has someone getting those shirts.
Yeah. So... we are going to put up discount codes on the $10 a month Patreon if you're interested in that.
Yeah, and if you guys are actually interested, there's also the $20 tier, and that's for the Saudi prince level. We know we got some Saudis.
We literally offer you nothing more.
We just know you get the money.
Yeah, it's just you can have the knowledge that you live the kind of life where you can give a podcast $20, and that's kind of incredible.
What, like, a country.
Yeah, what a country.
Wait, was that about us?
In suicide, you kill you. In communist suicide, y'all get it.
He becomes a life coach.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Well, yeah, how was your fucking New Year, you idiot?
Well, it was a lot of fun. I was also going to say, I think it's February 15th, right? Is your album recording?
February 12th.
February 12th, sorry.
At the Echo in Los Angeles. I made a link that has, like, ticket links, all the related links for it. It's albumrecording.davetotheross.com. So go there, please. Buy your tickets. Come support me in LA.
I can't buy, like, tickets for, like, Aquaman from that your site.
No.
Why? So it's just you. It's all about you.
Sorry. Yeah, it's just for me.
Oh, okay. So you made your website all about you.
Yes.
I guess you just didn't
Hampton.
Think of anyone else.
Yeah, man. That's what I did. I'm sorry.
Because I'm a complete idiot.
So I'm the idiot.
And it's me not understanding. It's like really driving it home.
Got to fill those rooms up. Come to the shows. Bring your friends. Tell your family. Tell people who aren't in your family or your friends.
Tell your dog.
Run down the street screaming, go to Dave Ross's album recording February 12th at the Echo, 8 p.m. and or 10 p.m.
Yell it into your sweater.
Yeah. Okay. Yell it. Make your sweater come. Buy your sweater a ticket. If your sweater laughs, that'd be good.
New Year's. It was a rockin'. It was a rockin' Eve. Mm-hmm. I went to a party. It was a lot of fun.
Did you rock the vote?
I rocked the vote at the party, which was people hated it.
What do you prefer, New Year's or Rocktober?
Rocktober's a whole month.
Yeah.
And New Year's Rockin' Eve is one night.
Mm-hmm.
Shark Week's, well, I don't, how long is that? That Shark Week's.
I don't like Shark Week.
Shark Week is
one bit.
Is half the year, I think.
For me, Shark Week is just what I call it when I'm sad.
I age in Shark Weeks.
What? I'm like 52 in Shark Weeks.
How do you count time?
525,600 Shark Weeks.
Oh my God, there is blood everywhere.
Oh boy. Well, that feels good. Dude, you want to know what I did for New Year's? I watched in.
Okay. Oh, I guess because I'm a complete idiot.
So I'm an idiot.
I can't figure out what you did for me.
I can't. I don't read your mind because I'm an idiot.
How can I read your mind if my
I'm such a fucking idiot.
So stupid. I would love to know what you did for New Year's.
I watched Infinity War with my roommate. That's totally what I did. I didn't even watch the ball drop. I was just, like, not in the mood to give a shit about it.
That's so funny.
And I had never seen Infinity War.
Whoa.
It is amazing.
I've watched it, like, 50 times.
There's no other movie like that. There were two things especially that stood out for me. The first was there were so many characters that they didn't even try to give you a backstory.
Characters welcome.
Oh, God damn it.
You're making...
Jesus.
You're right.
Fuck.
I think the most amount of screen time was Iron Man, and he was like 16 minutes.
I mean, most of the Avengers movies do like... try to give you at least a little bit of context at the beginning if you haven't seen the other movies, so it's a one contained story. But right. There were so many they didn't even try.
No.
I loved it.
And that's the beauty of comic books is they're just like...
fuck it.
It's just... stories that go on forever, so they don't try to catch you up all the time.
I was watching it with Chris Charpentier, and we were like... like, once every 5 minutes, one of the two of us said, what is even happening right now? It was also, like, I really think a wonder of the world. Like, if you had told me that a movie like that could get made when I was a kid, I wouldn't have believed you.
Yeah, I would have shit my brain.
No shit, dude. It's just, like,
shit for
constantly, just, like, aliens fighting robots nonstop. It's crazy.
Yeah, a bunch of nerds were doing this for New Year's, actually, that they timed it so that Thanos does the finger snap instead of the ball drop.
That's great.
And it's, like... it did kind of look fun, but I was like, shut the fuck up. I just hate doing a party with like a lot of people. And you'd be like, everyone, we have to watch this movie.
We have to watch it
all together.
Yeah,
it's like, just have fun.
Just have a party.
Yeah. Everyone do their own thing.
Oh, yeah. The other thing I did on New Year's was I did a fucking show.
What?
Yeah, which would have been cool if it was me like headlining a club for New Year's, but it was a... and it was cool. Like, the event was cool. It was a benefit for cystic fibrosis. It was cool. They raised $5,000. But
cystic fibrosis? That shit is the grossest. That, I'm all about rhymes.
Hampton, I got something to tell you. You are a complete fucking idiot.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm the only thing in this room bringing the heat.
Well,
I can't help
the
but
heater.
Notice.
Yeah. I couldn't help but notice. Well, the heater's off and you're off. Yeah, no, it was cool. It was like $60 a ticket, and everyone was like really dressed up.
Whoa.
They had a DJ and a band, and then it was open bar. But they had a comedy show inside it at 9:30, and there were like 400 people there, and they just didn't watch the comedy, because why would you?
Would you?
Yeah, you went to a party.
Yeah,
it was just
like,
really difficult.
It might as well be like, and guys, there's a juggler in the corner.
Yeah,
just
totally.
You know, be at my party.
Yeah, totally.
You know, I got some weird minds they're doing shit.
Downstairs, there are going to be multiple people fucking. And you can watch that if you want. And upstairs, we're going to be watching Infinity War.
I always would hear like comics be like, if you're not working on New Year's, like, how you can even call yourself a comic or something. But it's like, honestly, I've only been offered once. Like, it just doesn't come up.
Well, dude, Caleb Sinan told me a thing that I think we should probably all do. He was like, dude, first thing I do every year in January is just start emailing clubs and seeing if they need a headliner for New Year's. He does it like 11 months ahead of time just to get it locked down because you make a bunch of money.
Wow, what a fucking
loser.
I hope he listens to this podcast.
Me too.
Yeah, that's sad.
Yeah.
That is sad shit.
It's the smartest thing a comedian has ever said to me.
No,
ever.
I think having a career like is sad. It's just like...
no, you're right. Having money blows,
it
dude.
It fucking blows. You
fucking
have to spend
bullshit.
It on food and sustenance.
Yeah, I'd rather be hungry and thirsty.
It's like being at Dave's apartment.
I'm a little bit of a hungry comedian.
You got to be starving on stage. Yeah. You got to want it.
You got to be starving. You got to not understand yourself. You got to have bad relationships with your family.
The best was also, I did a New Year's show. I think 3 Days Grace was playing in like the hallway next
God,
to us.
I hate them.
Yeah, I
really hate that band.
Me 3 Days Grace too.
They just keep writing the same song, and it was already bad the first time.
And
their songs are just like, that's them, right?
Yeah, it was awful. It was definitely by DC 101 or something. And so, like, yeah, I had to do like 3-4 sets, like just until midnight. Like, yeah, that different city day.
Oh, okay.
And it was just so funny because, like, this comic, he hated me. He was an older guy, and he was also doing these sets, you know, throughout the night. And I guess, like, at one point, I did 16 minutes instead of, like, 8 or whatever. And, like, everyone's drinking and, like, I didn't even know how many sets we were going to be doing that night and shit. And I got off stage and he's like, you can't tell the difference between 8 minutes and 16 minutes. Mm-hmm. I was like, no. Mm-hmm. No, I didn't see the light. And no, I'm not like making a calculated move to fuck you over by like 8 minutes, right. You idiot. Like, so it was just so funny. Like, I was like 22 at the time or something. And this is like a 50-year-old man being like, what the fuck, man? You don't know 8 minutes from 16 or something?
Well, I will say, in his defense, that you did run the light by the whole set length. But it also seems like he was being like shitty, like not cool.
I think it was like I was young enough that like something kind of like, something happened or I talked to someone in the crowd and it got a little longer and I didn't know how to adjust or something.
And then you missed a little. I mean, yeah, I've done that.
No, I was just like, why would you, like, it's New Year's. Like, what's your...
Everyone's loud and drinking. Nothing. No one's paying attention.
Does this matter? Yeah, totally.
Yeah, dude. Are you taping your special tonight? Like, no. I'm sorry I took a shit in your fucking cereal.
Yeah, were you just getting like $100 to do this? And like, we get to go see 3 Days Grace for free if we want? Like, what is your problem?
Speaking of 3 Days Grace, we have gotten some emails from people that did not like that we made fun of 21 Pilots. And, I do want to say, like, what they say, I appreciate the emails because I did want to know this. They said that apparently 21 Pilots has a lot of songs about suicide and depression, and they, like, do a lot of outreach for that, and that's great.
I don't give 21 fucks.
But I don't give 21 fucks.
Well, 21 Pilots were responsible for 9/11, and I can't help but think, coincidence?
Yeah, no.
No.
Yeah, dude.
Well, how about
should
this?
Should be 69 Pilots.
9/11 has two ones.
Because they smell.
And they look like the towers. Coincidence?
Oh, my God. And the Pentagon looks just like a number 9.
Why? Because I'm a complete idiot?
I do just want to say, like, we are definitely on this podcast going to shit on your favorite band. Just so you know. We hate a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But you be you. I've said this a million times. I like Coldplay, so clearly I love it, man. That song where they talk about strawberries or whatever, I like that song.
Also, I don't think liking things together builds strong like friendship bonds. I think it is mutual shared hatred that's stronger.
Absolutely,
it's
absolutely
better to go, oh my fucking God, I hate that thing. Thank you so
like
much.
Like we both hate your dad.
Dave, he's a listener.
No, we both hate my dad.
I hate Daddy Daycare, the movie, because it reminds me of my daddy's daycare.
I love Ghost Dad, though.
Now I do.
Now I like him. Not in the movie.
Because now
I love
you
him off
you're
screen.
Like, well, at least he's dead.
Yeah, and totally. I wish you were always a Ghost Dad, Bill.
I wonder if people actually remember that movie. That is so old.
Ghost Dan?
Yeah, it was Bill Cosby's.
Well, I clearly remember it, and so I'm no one then.
You are not flipping this back at me.
I'm no one, and you're a complete idiot. Wow, well, this is a great fucking podcast. Wow.
Let's cut to a fucking sponsor.
I'm not even fucking here, I guess.
I don't know. I hope people aren't like having PTSD from fake yelling. I love fake yelling. I
think it's on our podcast?
Yeah.
Why do you say that? Because they were just with their family and getting yelled at?
Yeah, just maybe, from their whole life. Maybe I do subconsciously.
You ask me not to yell? I won't yell, man. I'll never yell again.
Even this is too much.
This is too much?
Yeah, it's getting a bit much.
Oh, yeah?
Well, yeah. Oh,
okay. Great.
I don't know what to tell you.
Okay. Well, I guess that we should talk about history because I don't understand where this riff went. Riff rent. Hi, I'm Riff Rent.
Boy, you're just shouting. And it is untenable.
No, it's not it's a fair point.
Listen to me.
Okay.
Okay. Do you see how beautiful this is?
Uh-huh.
It's like I actually talk in a perfect E.
Oh, you do?
E chord.
It's totally monotone.
It's monotone, just always E.
Well, great. I guess I'm not even fucking here.
I guess I didn't know that because I don't have a fucking brain in my head.
Okay, this week we are talking about Abdullah al-Asiri.
Okay.
He is another member of Al-Qaeda.
Are you serious?
Yes.
You said this one was actually going to be maybe a little funny.
Yes. I mean, obviously...
Not so sad.
There's... Yeah. Especially since it was a terrorist attack. It's easier to laugh at. But it's also... it's funny. It's funny.
Can we add in, like, bonk sound effects? Like, goofball noises?
Yeah, absolutely we can. Me screaming, you being dumb. we'll be right back.
Doesn't matter what they say, 'cause I'm gonna get my way if I don't wanna go.
We're back. And we're back.
And we're
New
back.
New Year's cockin' ass.
It's the Suicide Show on 101.1 The Death.
New beers cockin' ass.
Put your beer in your ass and get your cock out.
New shirt.
New shirt.
I love that we come up with 50 new shirts every
Dude,
podcast.
This is basically a shirt idea podcast.
I got into podcasts to make shirts.
So what was it? Put your beer in your ass and get your cock out? I feel like that's a good tagline for Suicide Buddies.
I found this website and I'm trying to determine if it's real, but it's like people showing Facebook like advertised t-shirts. So I'm like, yes, I'm a bad bitch who was born in May and I love Harry Potter. Like it scans right. your interests and just puts it on a shirt and says it madly.
Wow. Wow. That's unbelievable.
One was like, it was a skeleton and it had like the rainbow flag colored and it was like, yes, I'm a gay skeleton.
What?
And I was like, is this real? There's no fucking way.
Yes, I'm a gay skeleton is the funniest shirt ever, dude.
The rest of my body isn't, but I feel like it's possible.
I still have to make, I think I talked about this on the show. James Austin Johnson and I were talking about those shitty dude bumper stickers you see on the back of motorcycles. Yeah. I want to make one that says, if you can read this, I'm a bitch.
Got to get that t-shirt money. Then we get into bumper stickers.
Podcast, t-shirt, Facebook, the three elements of comedy.
Oh, you know what? I forgot to promo this also. I put up a video, guys, on like you can find it on all like my social media or wherever. I like post it on the Suicide Buddies.
If you follow
Facebook.
Hampton on Pornhub. You've
That's
seen
right.
it.
It is on XVIDS. It is on Pornhub. And it's just like a video of stand-up I made that I'm really proud of.
It's awesome,
I'd like
dude.
People to see it.
I watched it a day or two ago. It's really great. I really...
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
It's more... It's, I guess it's like I wanted to try and learn editing and like incorporate like kind of music and like visuals in it. The way you were talking is like how I think people... maybe see stand-up in their brain.
Yeah.
When someone's bringing up an idea,
oh,
you know?
Oh, yeah. No, I really liked it. I was telling you off mic that I think that you should make a special like that one day. It's cool.
Oh, thanks, man.
Yeah, dude. With that exact footage. All of the footage.
I used, like, every bit of, like, home footage I had, like, from the road where I just, like, stick the car, like, camera out the...
Yeah.
car and everything.
I liked how all the angles were kind of weird. Like some of them were right on, but then there's one one angle from your album recording that was just like you could only see the top half of your body. It's great. Yeah, I really liked it. All right, this week we're talking about Abdullah Al-Asiri. Excuse me, Abdullah Al-Asiri.
I'm sorry, Al Bundy.
Abdullah Al Bundy. Al Bundy, Al Bundy.
That was
that
racist.
Is so racist.
I'm sorry.
I fucked it up. Made it worse. Let's just never bring it
hey
up
man,
again.
Hey, man, you had the assist on that. I was the one who went full racist. you're an idiot, and I'm a racist, and this is Suicide Buddies.
Al Bundy, Al Bundy. God damn it.
Known terrorist Al Bundy was killed today. When he stuck his hand down his pants, the CIA had actually put a bomb there, and it went off.
The CIA did it. Man. Do you know the CIA did 9/11?
And that's why they went for the Pentagon, because the army doesn't let
themselves.
Them in there. They're mad.
Why are you hitting yourself, CIA?
If they had bombed Langley, you would have known it was the army that did it. Yeah. Every year, the CIA football team plays Army football team, and they fucking hate each other, dude.
Probably. The CIA is a bunch of nerds.
Yeah, dude. Bunch of losers, man, with fucking pocket protectors, dude. Yeah. So they don't get ink on their shirt.
You want to protect your pocket, but not our country.
Yeah.
You know?
It's wow. Like, thanks.
Okay, nerd.
Thanks a lot. Yeah. Ugh. Why don't you get some intelligence in your brain?
Oh, okay. So, Dave, you're saying I'm just like a complete idiot. Can't join the CIA.
Yeah.
Just a big fucking idiot.
Yeah, Hampton. Well, sure. I guess I'm not even here.
So it's going to be weird because usually we do talk about some sort of, you know, mental health in relation to the story. And we did already do 9/11 Christmas, which.
Yeah.
And we do these sometimes where it's just, it's easier to maybe. I don't know, make fun of it a little bit because
he's
a bad guy.
It is weird. Like even though, because the story is itself funny, it's tough because like we talked about the dude who accidentally had his penis chopped off when he was a kid. And it's
it
like
it was a gut buster.
And
that
we're idiots. So we like, you know, giggle about facts like that. So there is an element of that, and we don't want to like shame someone's death, certainly. But again, it is a little easier when someone is trying to murder others. but okay, so he was born in 1986 in Riyadh. He's Saudi Arabian.
There's a clue.
There are. Wow. Well, that's the other thing. It was like he was attacking Saudi Arabia, this terrorist. So it's also just like everyone kind of sucks in this story. Like every person.
Like this place is not oppressive enough for me. Yeah. Kick it up a notch, guys. You're not being fundamental enough.
Yeah, I mean, I think that their issue with Saudi Arabia is how American they are, right? Like, even though they are, like, incredibly oppressive, they love us.
And yeah,
they also support us.
Fund most, like, terrorism in that area. It's really awful. But, I think it is, conflict of interest and shit.
Yeah.
And people are just like, you guys are, like, mobbed up, basically.
So there's not much known about his early life, but in the early 2000s, his big brother Ibrahim recruited him into Al Qaeda, and then in 2007 he went to Yemen with Ibrahim.
Yemen.
No, you're not a complete idiot.
All right, so Al Bundy went to Yemen. I mean, what is this story? You're making it up.
Al Bundy went to Yemen. I can't take it. I can't take it. It's like I'm not even here.
I'll try not to ever do that joke again, specifically.
If you do it again, I'm going to yell. I'm going to fucking yell.
I'm just saying, this tone already is screaming.
This is a serious question. When I yelled, did it get trigger?
No, I think because we were doing a back and forth where it was fake aggressive to each other.
Yeah, totally.
I don't mean like, just the level of noise, but I just was like, maybe this is just like.
No, it's a good thought because I hate yelling. I hate yelling.
I know.
I like to do it as a joke, but then I hate it when people yell at me like real bad.
Yeah, I get it, Dave. What am I, a complete idiot?
It's like I'm not even here.
Do you see how
it's like I'm not even fucking here.
It's like,
man,
a button we could push to just do fake aggression.
Yeah, totally. Oh, Kyle Ayers is texting me right now. God, man. Fucking piece of shit. You're an idiot. I'm not even hearing you.
Never
a piece
seen
of
him.
Shit. Never seen him. Yeah. That guy really rattles my boast. You know what I mean?
Oh, hey, there. He does projects.
Yeah. I love Kyle. He's great.
He's a saint.
He's the best. By the way, Hampton and I did an episode of Never Seen It, which is Kyle's podcast, where you write a scene from a movie you've never seen, and we did Human Centipede, and Kyle just made a fucking cartoon of it that he put up on his Instagram. You should go watch it.
It came out so good, actually. So,
yeah, totally.
That's one of my favorite things I've ever co-written with anybody.
I know, dude. It was so fun. I'm really proud of that. So, Abdullah El-Asiri.
Never again. Never forget. Never forget I did that joke.
Yeah. Never again. Never forget, never again.
I'm going to build a wall around me.
It's like a paradox. I don't even understand what it means, dude. Never first you're never forgetting, but now you're never doing it again? What?
God. So he's getting radicalized by his brother.
Well, and he goes to Yemen. As I understand it, Yemen is like where Al-Qaeda trains.
Yeah.
It's like where you learn to be fucking super mad. Like you were mad. You were mad, I mean, now you're like way mad, dude.
That is true. What do they do? Do they take away like their PlayStation? Like, does that make them mad?
Yeah, totally.
Do they not let them beat off?
Actually, I don't think they do beat off.
No PlayStation or beating off?
Yeah, exactly, dude. And you got to move back in with your fucking parents.
They don't enjoy Bill Maher over there?
No.
They don't get Bill Maher?
They don't. They hate Bill Maher. Because Bill Maher is like... the crown jewel of America.
I hope they put his snide look on his face on the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah, that old racist piece of shit is my favorite.
Folks, the Statue of Liberty is basically wearing a burqa.
Okay. New rule. Statues don't get to wear a hat.
Yemen's got this reputation.
He goes to Yemen, and so then he trains, and we are already, the rest of this is the suicide story. I guess this is maybe a little short, but whatever, dude, I don't like talking.
He trains with Goku in Yemen to become the strongest martial artist in
damn
all of the world.
By the way, dude, have you played the new Smash Bros?
No, I haven't. Aristotle
plays. I just played it for the first time yesterday, dude. And can I say, yeah, man? Oh,
it's gonna be good. It's like one of the best gameplays. It's like fun to play with a bunch of people.
It's so much fun. We didn't play. You can play with 8 people. How many people have you played with, Aristotle? 3. Yeah, I played with 3.
Wait, Dave. Are you getting a bribe from Mario?
Wait. I didn't realize that we were funded by Mario. Hey, welcome to Suicide Buddies. I'm Mario, and I'm Luigi.
And Isa wanted to kill myself.
Isa, was that?
I
feel like that was
Jar Jar.
Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah, Jar Jar Jario.
Yeah, Jario. The Jario brothers.
Who's a boy? Super Jario. What's a baby? Meet the ball. Oh, boy.
Oh, wow. yikes. Okay, so somewhere like around August 24th, 2009, Abdullah al-Asiri calls the palace of Mohammed bin Naif to turn himself in. So at the time... Saudi Arabia had instituted a terrorist rehabilitation program where you could turn yourself in and then you would be, I don't know, coaxed back into loving Saudi Arabia or whatever.
Oh my God.
There were so many terrorist attacks against Saudi Arabia.
That's so funny. So there's just a line of people like waiting to get cleared to come back and they're just like holding a ticking clock bomb. Like, oh, hurry. Like,
yeah.
Hurry.
It's so funny. That's like basically exactly what happened. So this palace is in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. And so just so like you have context, Mohammed bin Naif was a member of the royal family. He was the deputy minister of interior and he was the head of anti-terror in the Saudi government. He was the one who was in charge of stopping terrorist attacks.
So he
against Saudi Arabia. So he's anti-terror, not pro, anti-terror. Hmm. Imagine being like, no, I'm pro terror. I like terror. I like to terrorize.
I just like the faces that they make when they're terrorized.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, this has nothing to do with political motives at all. It's just about the look of terror.
If I can burn one shadow into a building, I'll be happy with my life. So, August 26th, 2009, Abdullah al-Asiri and his brother Ibrahim, with the help of his brother Ibrahim, puts basically exactly 1 pound of plastic explosives and a detonator into his rectum.
Barely know him. Rectum damn near killed him.
Like, actually, finally there's a situation in which that's true.
They translated the Quran and it actually says that rectum damn near killed him. This, we got to use this.
So yeah, he puts a pound of explosives in his butthole.
Are you sure
he
didn't
detonator.
Just like sit on it accidentally?
Oh shit. That's got to be what happened.
Yeah, he wasn't looking.
He didn't mean to.
He wasn't looking.
Yeah, totally.
You know, me,
he was
me
just
and
busy.
Him.
He did this bit where when he sat down, he would go, "Yeah, man," and there was a bomb there because there's a lot of bombs at the Al Qaeda camp, and he was like, "Well, I guess we should use this." So he went to the.
He's like, "I've been expanding my asshole all year. This I didn't feel a thing." I sat on a cat. So, I sat on a
I don't
bomb.
Know if this is okay or very disrespectful.
I don't know. If you're going to try to kill people by shoving...
I can make fun of you. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Hampton, we have to wow. respect Bugs Bunny and Porky Pig, all right?
So they did that August 26, 2009, to get from Yemen to...
No
to
man.
Bin Naif's palace, he had to go through airport security twice in two flights.
A pound
of plastic explosive, half a fucking kilogram of plastic explosive
so
in his
much.
Asshole. It's a lot, yeah. So he goes through two airport securities and palace security, and it goes undetected.
No one sniffing his butt.
No one sniffed his butt.
No one fucked him in his butt between then and then? How's that possible?
After the... So after this happened, I'll get back to what happened when he killed himself. But after this happened, it's so ridiculous that like nobody took it seriously. And like literally the New York Post, the title of the article was Al Qaeda Assassin. That's the name.
I almost vomited from laughter.
CBS News referred to him as the Trojan Bomber, which I think is... Wow. I feel like CBS could have taken it a little more seriously. I feel like... It's actually like sort of the Russian doll of Trojan horses. Because the bomb is inside him, and then he goes inside the palace. You know what I mean?
And the love is inside of his
and then
heart.
He poops out the bomb, and then there's piss everywhere. You get it.
This is like, it's just so... It's more like starting to dawn on me the reality of this.
Yeah.
It's insane. Like, he had to prep the exact timing of this and eat chili at just the right moment to blow up the bomb in his butt.
Exactly.
It's
yeah.
incredible.
Totally. It was ignited by shitting. It wasn't, but... It could have been.
I always do wonder why.
You gotta poop hard, fart hard, fart hard, and he'll die.
Here it comes. Whoa, boy.
Oh,
I want to kill people. Oh, it hurt.
It hurts. Oh, man.
No one knows my pain.
And they were like, there's an interview with this guy, Steve Emerson, who's just like a historian, I think.
He's just the man who's laughed the most at it.
He's literally called, they refer to him as a terror expert, which I don't know how you get that title. But this is one of the quotes for him.
So
he says, standard airport security is not going to detect that. You need a much more intrusive type of X-ray machine that can actually see inside your body cavities. And so I wonder if this guy is the reason that we have those fucking things at the airport.
Oh, possibly.
Because those things, you can opt out of it because it literally gives TSA a picture of your naked body.
Yeah, no, I've been saying this for years. Because the people always are like, I don't want like the government reading my emails. I'm like, they're already taking naked photos of your children at the airport. What yeah. level of like intrusion, where did you draw the line previously?
Yeah. Haven't you ever noticed that like there's always one TSA guy when you're going through who's beating off?
Oh, it's old Beatin' Steven. Old Buster Scruggs over there.
This is my favorite quote from that guy, Steve Emerson. He goes, I've never seen that before. I've never heard of that before. The terrorists are always one step ahead of the counterterrorists.
Wow, Steve, take it easy.
You like putting a bomb in your butt is one step ahead of you.
They're always one butt ahead of us. There was one ass ahead.
New York Post also literally referred to it as a butt bomb.
Weapons of ass destruction.
Yeah!
That was it.
Boom, 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 boom. Boom, boom. There it is. Fuck yeah, man. I love being in America.
Why do people hate us?
Yeah. Damn. So that's August 26th. He gets through palace security. And like I said, he called ahead to turn himself in their terrorist rehabilitation program. So they were expecting him, and he came in,
right,
and he was going to like
blow them up.
Apologize. That's what they thought. So August 27th, 2009, he has had to wait 24 hours to get an audience with Mohammed bin Naif.
Oh my God.
And it's also Ramadan.
Also, again, how do you go 24 hours without anal sex? Like,
I'm saying.
You die.
Exactly. It's my water. My body is 70% anal sex. So I guess the thing that they do in palaces in Saudi Arabia, or at least this palace in Jeddah, is they have like a line of well-wishers who like shake the prince's hand and like wish him well for Ramadan.
It's like a cartoon.
Yeah, totally.
Okay.
So he, Abdullah gets to Mohammed bin Naif and tells him that there are other much more senior members of Al-Qaeda who want to turn themselves in.
Okay.
And they want to talk to him on the phone. So Mohammed is like, yeah, okay. And
we have to go in the other room.
Yeah. And in order to talk to them, you have to push this red button.
Also, my girlfriend's in Canada. She's a model. She does Canadian modeling. You wouldn't know her. She tries not to use Facebook.
So the guy's like, okay. Abdullah takes out his cell phone, calls someone, and I couldn't find it, but Al-Qaeda has an audio recording of this phone call.
Whoa.
That they made a cartoon of.
Al-Qaeda made a cartoon?
Yeah, to like show their people, I guess.
Is this like a Jerky Boys thing?
CBS News got a hold of it, and there's just like a cartoon reenactment of this phone call that they have the audio of.
Sounds a little insensitive of Al-Qaeda.
I agree. Cartoons are not funny.
Oh, now you guys like cartoons.
Oh, man. I'm sorry. It's like they're not even here. So in the recording, he's talking to his handler on the phone, and they're like saying some bullshit.
Sorry.
He's talking to Chelsea Handler on the phone, and he's like, God, I missed your show on E. And then everyone died. So there's like, it's a rehearsed conversation, and there are like some things they're both trying to say. And after like a couple back and forth, there's a beep on the phone, and they assume that this beep was a text message being sent to
the bomb.
To detonate the bomb.
Right.
And so after that, he hands the phone to Mohammed bin Naif, and then 14 seconds later, the bomb goes off.
Okay.
Except Abdullah Al-Asiri's body insulated the blast almost entirely.
Oh my God.
So it just killed him in front of people, and all it did was burn Mohammed's hand a little bit.
Whoa.
It was basically like, all right, I'm ready to do it.
It's like, you can't tell me that's not a controlled demolition.
Yeah, absolutely.
Look at the photos of how his body collapses. It's falling in on itself.
It didn't kill anyone but him. And when he was interviewed about it, Mohammed bin Naif literally said, I did not want him to be searched, but he surprised me by blowing himself up.
I tell you, really, really got the better of me when he blew himself up.
Yeah. And then what's so crazy is that Mohammed bin Naif, 6 years after that, in 2015, was named Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah. He was since replaced. In 2017, he was replaced by the current Crown Prince, who was the guy that killed fucking...
He did it with the crown, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, they mutilated that journalist.
Oh, boy. Yeah, no one's good in this story at all.
Remember how Trump, after that story, they were like, well, like, the CIA is saying it happened, and even they're saying they probably did it, and he's just like, it is what it is.
Yeah.
He just said that to people. He goes, you know, it is what it is. Like, man, that is...
So what an answer. Yeah.
I guess the buck stops here was taken.
Yeah.
So you can't say that.
Yeah. He's rolling through all of his possible, okay, should I say suck my dick?
He just does like DX on his crush.
He just says global warming isn't real. Yeah, man. So, yeah, man.
Wow. That poor guy. In a way, I wish...
That poor guy.
Well, I kind of wish he'd killed that crown prince.
Sure. I mean, if you're already there.
If you're already there.
I mean, while you're there, you might as well do that.
Yeah, it's funny because it's like, you know, before I even saw The Dark Knight, you know, it's like they put that explosive in the guy's stomach. And
yeah,
it's just like, yeah, why don't you just take like a crazy person, like just get him a little bit through the system. I don't know. If you're just trying to cause like mass panic, that's right. Easy.
Right.
And I think there was definitely a lot more going on with, say, like 9/11. Well, and these are very like political attacks, you know, like trying to kill that guy
right.
Specifically.
Well, I think the one thing that we could talk about that maybe we have some insight or thoughts on is that like obviously I don't know how it feels to feel oppressed by a superpower. Mm-hmm. I don't know at all how that feels. But one thing that does happen to these people is that they're like, they are manipulated. You are angry. You agree with the general thing that Al Qaeda is saying, and then you
it's a lot like Scientology in a lot of ways,
right?
It's like
exactly the
initial things start to morph into like, oh shit, I'm in so deep now.
It's one thing to be angry. It's another thing to be so angry that you put your life doesn't matter to you anymore. You know what I mean? You want to die in order to help your own cause. And so I think the one thing that we can talk about is like, you do, like, if you're a softer person. Not even to say that they are, but if you like are a person who like is empathetic and hears people when they talk to you and is like prone to being pushed in a direction, which I fucking am. I'm like that. I have found myself in a lot of situations, especially in my younger life, where I was with people who didn't like me, that I didn't like, doing things they wanted to do that I didn't want to do. Mm-hmm. And like, that's a thing to watch out for sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely no like shock that it's always basically young males,
yeah,
who don't have like a direction.
You're emotional back then and you have nothing going on.
And yeah, it's like it kind of gets funneled into this whole thing where it's like, not only like, say, can you eventually be conditioned that you'll kill yourself, it's you're given a cause and you're believing that you're going to be like a hero and you're making this cause that you now so believe in go forward. And that's when we talked on 9/11 Christmas, like the counterterrorism expert was like, we just could not have foreseen people being radicalized for such an extended period of time.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you're mad usually like, oh, my cousin got killed, I'm going to go kill someone right now or blow something up. But like, no, we got to like take down the Western power and plan for years. It's like, no one could have really seen.
Right.
And I think it's like a cult, basically. It's like a death cult. It's a lot like Scientology. You get alienated from all the positive people in your life.
Yeah.
You know, every time, you know, they call their family and they almost never know that they're in these terrorist cells.
Right.
Like, it's not like, I'm home from terrorist camp. What's
what do you
up?
Mean? Like you were saying with like last week. Oh, what do you mean? I'm in Hamburg. Of course I am. Yeah.
It's just more often families have no idea that you're associating with these people.
Yeah. It's definitely, there is some level of psychosis to like being okay with you dying.
I think,
thinking about that.
It's brainwashing. You know? It's breaking someone down.
Totally.
And I think it's easier than we think to actually like radicalize somebody that like separate you from all positive influences in your life and get you really angry about something.
Totally.
And not only that, all your friends are angry about it.
I mean, if you're already, I mean, especially if you're the type, I met like a young Nazi once when I lived in Fresno. This dude, this like 16-year-old kid was literally handing out Nazi flyers.
Fresno has a bit of a, a bit of a rep for that.
Well, fucking LA does now too. And I was like, what is this? He handed me this flyer and he was like, we're having a meeting. And I was like, what the fuck, dude? And I got really mad right away. And he's like, oh, we're just a meeting to talk about what we think. And I was like, you got to stop doing this, man. What are you doing? I was like immediately so angry.
It's about nationalism, guys. It's not really race motivated. It's just, you know, it's about taking pride.
No, dude, they're my friends. And it like, this kid was...
Wow.
Just a lonely fucking kid who these asshole piece of shit Nazis just talked to him like he was a person and then convinced him that they were his only friends and then he'll just do whatever they want.
Yeah.
And a lot of people do that.
Well, actually, something I know, there a lot of people think that there's a lot of Nazi stuff happening in L.A., and it's like, where did all these L.A. Nazis come from? But a lot of them actually do come from Orange County, like
San
Fresno,
Bernardino.
And travel like 2-3 hours and make it seem like there's a huge L.A.
right.
contingent. It's like, no, it's all these fucking idiot loners who want to get together with their angry friends and drive hours to go be shitty. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, you're fucked up. Something's wrong.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, like, totally. Totally. But I mean, yeah, like, I think we're all very impressionable. I mean, Fox News is a perfect example of how impressionable people are. It convinces so many people that are, that just like socially or politically think a version of what they're talking about, and then convinces it. What Fox News does is it convinces them that it's the only way to think, and that everyone outside of that line of thinking is attacking them. Mm-hmm. And people wouldn't have thought that without Fox News.
I think that, yeah, it's again, yeah, sort of brainwashing. Start out real simple. Like, it's easy to just be like, is Starbucks anti-Christmas? And it's like, I'm just asking a question. I'm not even telling you how I feel, but I'm saying it kind of angry.
Yeah.
And then it's like, you're like, well, that, they shouldn't do that. And then, like, you just kind of low-level start red-pilling.
Yeah.
Well, I actually read some stuff online that shows that, you know, Sean Hannity is actually a really good guy, even though he's got like the same lawyer as Trump and he's like completely like Russia mobbed up. It's just like,
yeah.
It's like you have to be avoiding facts. It's right. This level of brainwashing.
Well, also, I mean, I think people get offended if you tell them they've been manipulated because it seems like you're saying that they're dumb. Mm-hmm. But it's not, you're not dumb if you've been manipulated. You're a That's a good person is easily manipulated.
That's a good point.
You want to believe people. You want to trust people. You want to be loved in the world. You want to give people the benefit of the doubt. And so if some person, if you basically meet Iago and and he's like, your family is trying to kill you. I met them. I know it. You're like, oh, okay. Yeah,
you got to have a level of a healthy distrust for people, I feel. It's not anger.
Yeah.
It's more just like a lot of people are going to try and take advantage of you.
Dude, and the most manipulative thing on earth is when you say something that is healthily distrustful. Like someone's like...
Skepticism is what I mean.
Hey, can I... I feel like I've been in situations like this a bunch of my life. Hey, can I borrow your phone for a minute? And I'll be like... Not specifically that, but something like this. And I'll be like, what? No, I'm sorry. I don't even know you. And then they'll say something like, oh, okay, so I'm the kind of person who will just take your phone. That's the most manipulative shit ever. Because I'm just like, no, man, I don't know you. And yes, there are people who could take my phone. I don't know if you're the type of person who could take my phone.
What if you could like defend like, so it's attempted murder. Like I didn't murder any. Yeah. You just think I'm the type of person who would attempt.
I just love the idea of standing up in court and being like, oh, okay. So I'm the type of person who would murder. Wow, that's not nice to me, Mr. Judge.
The judge is like, wow, I seem like a real dick.
I do look like a dick. You should let him go.
I guess I have been a little bit of an ogre.
Yeah. All right, bailiff, you go to jail. Well, this was fun, dude.
Yeah, this was a lot of fun, man. Great up.
Yeah. Thanks, bud. Sign up for our Patreon, patreon.com/suicidebuddies, where there will be download codes for our new shirts.
And we put up a lot of episodes there, folks. So if you just want some more fun,
more of us,
check it out.
Oh, wait, hold on. Aristotle has just informed me that I said download codes for the shirts. I meant promo codes. And now the episode is ending awkwardly.
I want to download a shirt.
Download my shirt. Y'all ever download your shit?
Like we said before, when we recorded this, we thought we were going to be using TeePublic, but we are using Threadless. The URL for the shop is... suicidebuddies.threadless.com.
And thank you guys so much. Happy New Year. We love you dearly, and we're glad you're alive.
Thanks for listening.
Bye. Thank you guys so much for listening to Suicide Buddies. Remember, we tell jokes about suicide and suicidal thoughts on this show because we've been there and that's how we deal with it, not because we literally think someone killing themselves is funny. We do not. We do not think that. We want everyone to stay here with us on Earth. So if you're experiencing suicidal thoughts, contemplating suicide, please reach out to people. You are loved in this world. You can always call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-TALK. They're a great resource. They know what you're going through, and they will hear you. Thanks again for listening to the show, and we'll see you next time.